Well, as I think all of you know, I have small children in my household, and with that comes a lot of conversation about things that I take for granted or that I don't think about. So my daughter, Carol, who's 5 in particular, goes through these series of kind of intense questions about a very specific question. So over the summer, it was blimps and the Hindenburg crash. And well, why did the Hindenburg crash? What happened? What happened? Why did this happen? And then now she's learning about mummies, and she learned about the Iceman, which is the oldest natural mummy that we have. It was a man who was buried in ice, I think in between, in the Swiss Alps. And she wants to know, well, how did he die? Why did this happen? How does this happen? It's a lot of whys, and very intense whys. And I think sometimes it can be overwhelming for me, but sometimes I'm really inspired by her curiosity about things that I might just brush by on a daily basis. And so I was kind of channeling her curiosity when I was looking at this week's gospel lesson. And I had the whys in my mind of like, well, why was Jesus baptized? Why did he get baptized if Jesus we know to be sinless? And maybe you've had the same question, and it's a question that I have breezed by in years past, focusing on other details of the story, like the dove is very eye-catching. But it just struck me this time of why does John baptize Jesus in the River Jordan? Why isn't it the other way around? And now this is the first Sunday after Epiphany, and that's why we read our Epiphany gospel lesson at the beginning of worship. And while we celebrate the day of Epiphany on January 6th, when the Magi find Jesus by way of a star, the themes of the day, the themes of Epiphany, are present on every Sunday all the way up until the start of Lent at the end of February. And Epiphany, as a reminder, means manifestation or showing forth. And the central question I want us to be thinking of during this season of Epiphany is, what is being revealed? What is being made manifest about God through Jesus? So what is being revealed about God through Jesus in these stories we'll be hearing this Sunday and in the coming Sundays? So Jesus' baptism was his first public act as an adult in Matthew's gospel. And up to this point, all we've had are the Christmas and Epiphany stories from his birth and very early childhood. And so now we jump 30 years ahead, and here's Jesus emerging into the narrative as a fully formed adult, ready to begin his public ministry. But before the teachings and healings, before the parables, before the Sermon on the Mount and the calling of his disciples, Jesus is baptized. Why? John himself doesn't seem to understand why someone whose sandals he is not worthy to carry would meet him in the desert, a place of outcasts, to be baptized. But let's go back to that central question of the season. What is Jesus revealing about God? And the answer, I believe, starts with Jesus' birth. And I talked about this on Christmas Eve as well, that here is a God who takes on not just human flesh, but does so as a helpless baby. Jesus is immediately drawn into a family and then a community at his naming and circumcision, totally reliant on the care and teachings of others. So it makes sense that at the beginning of his public ministry, he would be involved in the same sort of obedience and humility. Jesus' ministry, while something totally new, is not possible without the involvement of a community. This is a new kind of ruler, a new king, a new lord, one who is both vulnerable and humble, who is concerned not with his own rise to power, but with the people most in need of God's saving grace. Before going out to do ministry to these broken people, he enters into the human experience more deeply through the act of baptism. And in this way, his baptism is a foreshadowing of how his public ministry will end on the cross. Given his start in the world and in ministry, it's no surprise that his death, he experiences the full brutality the world has to offer and is vulnerable to it. And yet, just as we are united with Jesus through his baptism, we are also united with him on the cross. And the walls that separate us from God, the walls of sin, the walls of suffering and of death, are torn down by Jesus' sacrifice, a sacrifice that begins with him as a small infant and is further revealed in his baptism. And after he was baptized, a voice from heaven named Jesus the Son of God. And by sharing baptism with us, when we are baptized, we too are called sons and daughters of God. In the Lutheran baptismal rite, the minister will say, "Child of God, you are sealed by the power of the Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever." And in our baptism, we are joined into God's mission. Just as Jesus' public ministry began with his baptism, so it is with our call to serve. As children of God, we are commissioned to live out what has been revealed in Jesus, that the poor, the vulnerable, the helpless are united to us and in need of our tender care. Yesterday, some of us from the church gathered for a reading and amendments of the church constitution. And if you haven't read it, it's about a 20-page document, kind of detailing the rules of church life and what the church is and how do we function as a community. I love church constitutions. I get very excited reading them. And my husband yesterday says, "You have a vocation to this life," because not everyone is excited to read a church constitution. And so we're going to make that available in a few weeks once we finalize the revisions. And so if you are someone that struggles with that kind of dense language, there is one sentence I just wanted to lift out of the Constitution that actually comes out of the former Constitution. And it's the statement of purpose of why St. Matthew's is here. And it says that St. Matthew's is here to bring a message of love to the Southwest and Navy Yard, Washington communities. It is our intention to cooperate with other neighborhood churches of God to help heal some of the spiritual, social, and material wounds of our chosen community. I know that here at St. Matthew's, we're in this new space and we're getting reintroduced to the community. And sometimes I feel like a lot of our attention goes towards the building. And there's kind of the joke, kind of the nuisance that every week there's one of the systems breaks down. This week it was the door. I guess it's been a couple weeks now. We have a door that's causing us much consternation. And in the future it will be something else. And it takes a lot of volunteer time and effort to maintain the building. But I had a very hopeful conversation with another pastor in the area who's also done redevelopment. And he said that when they did redevelopment, yes, the first 3 to 4 years were all about the building and systems breaking down one after the other, getting acquainted with the building. But then, he said, then things started to function more easily. We got into a rhythm and we were more able to engage with the local community again. And so I have that same hope here, that I know it's frustrating when systems don't work, when things break down, when we're trying to figure out how to use some of this, what to me seems like space age equipment, but that there's a life beyond that, and there will be a ministry beyond that, beyond just maintaining the building. And that I have seen so much growth in our stability and our engagement in the last 6 months, that I am sure that we will continue to be a faith community sent by God to pursue God's hopes and dreams for the Southwest DC and the wider world. And as I mentioned in my pastoral letter this month, There are so many helpful hands and hearts that make worshiping together and sharing communal life possible. And I'm just so thankful for the many people willing to volunteer their time, their energy, their talents, writing cards, making phone calls, cleaning and organizing the facilities, bringing a dish to share to a service or someone at home. And I'm just impressed with the many ways that people have stepped up to support each other and this community this past year. And I know that there's more that I don't even know about because people take care of details with such grace and such kindness that it can be hard to identify them. And yet these acts of kindness most certainly imbue this congregation as well as the local community. And I just wanted to say thank you for being a part of this beloved community. These are the ways that we live out our call as children of God. All these people we minister to are the reasons why Jesus was baptized and calls us to share in that baptismal identity. There's a lot of hardships we go through in life, but oh man, do I see good news being proclaimed and lived out right here and right now in this faith community. I am humbled and continue to learn from what I witness, and may God continue to bless each of you and bless this important life in Jesus that we share together. Amen.